This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Qala Allahu ta'ala fi al-Qur'an al-Majid wa al-Furqan al-Hamid. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyadabbaru ayatihi wa liyatadhakkara ulul albab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a blessed book that we sent down upon you, that they may contemplate his signs and those possessed of intellect may reflect. So we start this session today with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who revealed the pure and unblemished book upon his most blessed servant, and he made the Quran a code for this life and the next life. Praise and blessings be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the living manifestation of the Quranic teachings, and also peace and blessings upon his family, his companions, and his followers until their last day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us among them as well. What we understand from this life is because the Quran is given to us by our Creator and the Creator of this entire universe and the Nourisher. That's why the most beneficial way that we've learnt is that a Muslim can spend his time, his or her time in this world by living the Quran. The Quran is to be lived. So the best time that a person can spend in this world, that will count in the hereafter, that will be recognized in the hereafter, and that will be of value in the hereafter, will be the time that they have lived with the Quran. And that the way you live the Quran is you live the Quran through reading it, through reflecting over it. And then you apply the meaning, you apply the message, you apply whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to us in every aspect of our life, including in our daily interaction with others. So our life becomes Quran. If we live properly as the Sharia, as Islam wants us to live, that's living by the Quran. And that's one of the most amazing achievements that anybody can do in this world, because that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. And that is what the Sahaba aspired to do. And that's what they were successful in doing. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us successful in doing that as well. Now, in this regard, what I want to mention is that the Quran is a light from the illuminator of the heavens and the earth. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. He is the illuminator of the heavens and the earth. Any light that we have, whether it's physical light or light as guidance and what to do and what not to do, all of that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He's the provider of all types of light. All of that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran is one of the main lights from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we don't have that in our life, then there's that darkness. That's what it would mean. So the Quran is a light from the illuminator of the heavens and the earth. And through this, He guides us in this regard. And the other thing is that you can say that the Quran is actually a comprehensive manual for humanity, a comprehensive divine manual for all of humanity. Now, to underscore this is not something I'm claiming, this is something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I've always been struck by this hadith. This hadith is absolutely amazing, right? This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one very, very comprehensive hadith. Now listen to it carefully. He says, the Quran is the detail of what came before you. So he gives you history of what the relevant points of the past. It is the news of what is to come after you. So it has the future. And it is a judgment for what happens between you. It's the criterion. It is the judge of what's going on today, how we live by it, what's right and what's wrong, and who is correct and who is not correct. It is decisive without jest. It is serious in the sense. It is decisive. It is decisive and it doesn't waffle here and there. It is without jest. Any tyrant who abandons it, Allah will crush. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And anyone seeking guidance from other than it, Allah will leave to stray. If you want to go and look for guidance elsewhere, go ahead. But then you will be left to stray. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protection from that. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is the firm rope of Allah. In Arabic, the concept of rope of Allah means that when you hold on to the rope of Allah, Allah will take you into Allah will take you into His happiness and His satisfaction. So that's the way of success, that you have a rope. You're a drowning individual, and if you have a rope, then you can survive. So it is the rope of Allah. It is the wise admonition. It's full of wisdom, and that's the way it teaches. That is the way that it advises. And it is the straight path. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, it cannot be distorted by desires. People might want to distort the Quran to conform to what they claim and what falsehood they want to propagate. But it can't be distorted by desires. The Quran has never been changed in over 1400 years. It's maintained its exact same authenticity and its credibility. Nor can tongues be in a bind over it. It is easy to read. It is easy to read, and you can't be in a bind over it. The scholars, the true scholars, never have enough of it. You can never get tired of the Quran. There's multiple facets of the Quran. The Quran has so many ways of studying it, so many different things for which you can look into it. There's so many things that you can explore in the Quran, whether it's the jurisprudence in the Quran, whether it's the wisdoms in the Quran, whether it's the future, the past, success, failure, the various different themes, whether it's the style of the Quran, whether it's to understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, what He wants from us. There's just multiple things. And literally for every year of your life, every Ramadan of your life, this is what scholars used to do. They used to look at the Quran from a different perspective, for different secrets, for different things to be revealed to them. One scholar literally spent the whole Ramadan in just focusing on the rhetoric of the Quran, on how beautifully it had been composed and what was the amazing features of that rhetoric. Just an entire month of the was spent just doing that. He must have done a lot of other things before he decided to do that. That was one juz a day, subhanAllah. And as you know, that we went through just trying to explain a juz in an hour a few years ago, which you can find online. So that's why he's saying that scholars would never have enough of it, and it does not become dull from repeated recitation. There's other things that if you read them, you get tired of them. But the Quran, because of the way it's composed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the various different stories scattered through it, carefully placed in each of those instances that it has been placed, and the way it keeps changing the targhib and tarheeb, the persuasion and the dissuasion, when he speaks to you directly, when he tries to, when he engages you, when he prohibits, when he chides, when he encourages, and so on and so forth. You can never have enough of it, and it can never become dull from repeated recitation. And its marvels never end. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. Then after that he said, it is what the jinn heard. It is what the jinn heard and were moved to proclaim. I'll mention the exact hadith of this jinn later on. But it is exactly what the jinn heard, and they were moved to proclaim, indeed we have heard a wonderful recitation. They just had to confess that and declare that, which guides us to the straight path. Whoever speaks according to it has spoken the truth, because the Quran is just fully truth. And whoever acts on it is rewarded. So speaking is the truth, speaking from the Quran is the truth, and then acting upon it is rewarding. And whoever judges by it will be just. So anybody who judges by what the Quran judges, then they will be just, because the Quran is just. And whoever invites to it has guided to the straight path. This is a hadith that the great Imam Tirmidhi has transmitted. So now, what we've just discussed today is the beginning of a series of a number of short lectures on the Quran, and what we're really absolutely honored to be doing today is to be speaking and reading from a very, very interesting book, right? And this is a book called Ma'al Qur'an al-Kareem in Arabic. It's called Ma'al Qur'an al-Kareem in Arabic. You know, here you can see a picture of it. This is a book that White Thread is absolutely honored to be publishing. It is, I think, our first book exclusively on the Quran, right? We've been around for, you know, nearly two decades. nearly 2 decades, or probably over 2 decades actually. And this is our first book that's exclusively to the Quran. We're very excited to be publishing this. And this is a book called Ma'al Quran al-Kareem by this really great, one of the greatest of the Egyptian Qurra, one of the greatest of the Egyptian Qaris of the last, 100 years. And his name was Qari Mahmud Khalil al-Husari. Mahmud Khalil al-Husari, contemporary, maybe slightly older than Sheikh Qari Abdul Basit, which many of you must have heard of. And you probably have heard of Qari Mahmud Khalil al-Husari. He's got this really, really powerful but very simple way of reading with full tajweed, right? And a lot of people use him to learn from, to get the pronunciation right. So we've published multiple books on theology, hadith, jurisprudence, spirituality, invocations. So we're feeling very, very fortunate that we get to publish this book. Mashallah, there's a really fine scholar. He's still, mashallah, studying. He's originally from America, but he lives in different parts of the world. And his name is Ustad Nuh Saunders. Allah bless him. Allah protect him. They offered us this book because he and his Darul Qurra team had decided to translate this book, mashallah. Because it's a very, very succinct book on many of the most important aspects of the Quran. And he offered it to us for publishing, and we got really excited. Alhamdulillah, we've published this book. Now, let me tell you a bit about the author, right? Let me tell you a bit about the author of this book, of Ma'al Quran al-Kareem, which essentially means with the Noble Quran. So the translation is with the Noble Quran. Like, what do you do with the Noble Quran? Let's spend a few moments with the Noble Quran. So in that regard, this is who Sheikh Mahmud Khalil al-Husari is. Sheikh Mahmud Khalil al-Husari was born in 1335 Hijri, and he died in 1401 Hijri, right? 1401 Hijri. So that's about 40 years ago he died, right? And he was born in 1335 Hijri. That is, essentially, he was born in 1917, right? 1917, and he died in 1980, right? So 1980. And he is literally one of the most well-known and influential Egyptian Qaris. I would say that you've got a few Egyptian Qaris that are well-known, right, by everybody. Sheikh Abdul Basit probably is at the head of the list. Then you've got Sheikh Al-Manshawi, right? Very, very famous. Allah bless them all. And then you've got Sheikh Khalil Al-Husari, among many others. And then there's a number of more recent ones, right, who have become very, very widely known by everybody, especially with YouTube and everything. So he is considered to be, Sheikh Khalil Al-Husari is considered to be widely acclaimed for his very accurate and beautiful recitation of the Quran, right? From the tender age of 4, mashallah, from the tender age of 4, he entered the Quran school. And as many people do, they go into the maktab around that age. And by 8 years of age, he'd already memorized the Quran. Now that's an achievement, you know, not many people get to do that. Alhamdulillah, he managed to do that. And at 12, he entered the religious institute, a special religious institute, and learned the 10 qira'at. So the 10 variant recitations, that was at Al-Azhar University. So he studied that there. And then after that, he went to this famous Ahmadi Masjid, right? The Ahmadi Mosque. And that's a mosque which was well known at that time for its qira'ah. And many of the chief qurra', qurra' is a plural of qari, essentially, reciters, they would go there. It's a very privileged destination for students who sought knowledge of the recitation of the Qur'an. It was under supervision of some really eminent scholars of the Qur'an at that time, such as Sheikh Mustafa al-Murawij. So the Sheikh Husari spent many years there studying, and then after that, ultimately acquiring his, in those days, it was called a bachelor's degree in Qur'anic recitation. Right? And then there's a lot of different types of Egyptian Qurra, and they have different styles. Now, I'm just going to quote to you what one of the sheikhs of Azhar, one of the imams of Azhar of the time, Sheikh Mahmud Sheltut, many of you may have heard of him, he was a very famous scholar of the time. This is what he says about Sheikh Al-Husari's recitation. He says that Sheikh Husari is an excellent reciter who fears Allah in his recitation. Now, when I saw that part, that's, you could say, is the distinctive point about this. We're not saying that others don't fear him, but with Sheikh Al-Husari, you can actually feel it. You can usually sense it, that this man is reading with a certain reverence and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So this is what Sheikh Shaltut says. He says that Sheikh Husari is an excellent reciter who fears Allah in his recitation and adheres to the methodology of our pious predecessors in reciting the Book of Allah Most High, never deviating from it. He's not there to create new styles and to do strange stuff or cringy stuff or, you know, just to kind of wow the people or just to make them, you know, jump up and down. But he really sticks to the rules but makes it beautiful nevertheless, you know, while using just the proper tajweed. So he adheres to the methodology of our pious predecessors in reciting the Book of Allah, never deviating from it. His recitation fills the hearts with tranquility, peace and calmness, and opens the gates of guidance and the true faith for his audience. We'll leave a link to one of his recitations. I personally love that recitation. It's just amazing the way he does it so wonderfully, and it just makes you feel so wonderful. So inshallah, we'll leave the link below for this. Right? Now, it says that there's no surprise that when he came onto the radio, on the radio in Egypt, there was a Quran competition. So that's when he first came on in 1944. And his unique recitation, it compelled the judges to admit that his skill set surpassed the giants of recitation at the time. Right? The likes of the famous Qurra of the time were Sheikh Muhammad Rifa, Sheikh Ali Mahmud, Sheikh Abdul Fattah As-Sha'i. Right? And when his voice was broadcasted for the first time on Egypt radio, he immediately received respect for his unique style and application of the rules of recitation. It says that people would come from all over Egypt to listen to him. So I'm going to leave you a sample, a very soothing recitation. I find it very, very soothing, right? And you can feel the peace permeating every part of your body, inshallah. Not only was Sheikh Husari, though, just the master of Quranic recitation, but he devoted his entire life to learning and teaching all sciences pertaining to the Noble Quran. And thus he wrote many, many books on the subject of the Quran as well. And they were published. And the Supreme Council of Islamic Affairs actually published some of his works and distributed them, as far as I understand. He wrote more than, particularly about the Quran, he wrote more than about 11 books on the Quran, including Ma'al Quran al-Kareem, which is this book that we're telling you about right now, with the Noble Quran. Another one is called As-Sabil al-Muyassar fi Qira'at al-Imam Abu Ja'far. And these are, then he's got one on Riwayat Warsh, Ahkam al-Qira'at al-Quran al-Kareem, Al-Qira'at al-Ashar. So he's got multiple grams. I'm not going to go into all of his books. They're mainly related to the various different recitations, and I think that suffices for us. So alhamdulillah, we're able to publish this book, right? This very refined, it's a very, very good translation done by Ustaz Nuh and his team, the Darul Qurra. And the beauty of this particular, there's a lot of books out there about the Quran, right? I mean, we're not the first people to publish books on the Quran. Mashallah, we're actually quite behind. But we feel very honored to actually publish this book, right? Because La ilaha illallah, the beauty of this book, right, is in the author's comprehensive compilation of Quranic verses, prophetic hadiths, and opinions of the traditional scholars on some of the main issues, right, surrounding the Quran. Like, it will probably deal with many of the main issues, right, relating to the Quran. I mean, it doesn't go into the intricate discussions of usulul tafsir and usulul Quran that we did about 2 years ago. You can find those lectures online, right? But this is more about the Quran in general, right? Just how any normal person would be able to just much better value the Quran, understand its significance, and learn its etiquette. So he brings together all of the, you know, the verses, the hadiths, and opinions of the traditional scholars on this, which is very, very illuminating. In 10 chapters, the book has 10 chapters, he effectively covers the superiority of the Quran, the etiquette, the rewards, the virtues of listening, virtues of reciting, virtues of memorizing, the correct method of recitation, right? Then he goes into some specifics like the rulings of using melody, right? A specific melody or maqam or something like that. And a lot of people are quite curious about that. What's his opinion about that? And he talks about, are you allowed to cry out of the fear of Allah when reading the Quran? I mean, I'm assuming you can, right? Of course you can. And the warning against, he talks about the warning against forgetting the Quran, along with a satisfying discussion on its 7 variant readings. So that's essentially what this book is about. And I'll leave a link for you if you want to order this. If you want to order this book, we'll leave a link below for you to do that, inshallah. So there you go. This is what we're speaking about. And inshallah, we're going to be covering this book, inshallah. And jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum.
The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.